Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. WGTD is also supported by Carthage College, dedicated to combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation, designed to allow students to uncover and ignite their potential. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities at carthage.edu. And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. It is National Travel and Tourism Week, and it is appropriate indeed that we can welcome onto the program for part one of today's program, Dennis Duchesne, who is president of the Kenosha Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. And he's going to be sharing with us some really exciting numbers and sort of revelatory numbers about just how important tourism is to our local economy. And we'll be talking about some big things that have made a difference. And we'll make passing reference to something that we're going to explore in more detail in part two of today's program, nearly the specifically the monumental centennial celebration of the legendary filmmaker Orson Welles, of course, born right here in Kenosha. This Wednesday marks the 100th birthday of Orson Welles and a whole host of different events in the weeks to follow have been planned, and we'll have three members of the steering committee of the Citizens Welles Society joining us at about 8:30. But first, Dennis Duchesne, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning, Gregory.
Good to have you here. And I know that you have come armed with some really interesting statistics and so on, but before we went on the air, you were saying that actually the story of tourism and especially the success story here in southeastern Wisconsin and specifically in Kenosha County is not just about numbers. There are other parts to this story that are actually much more important.
Yeah, the numbers are important, but I think what really makes things work in Kenosha County is the ability of our tourism partners to work together, not only to promote their own businesses, but to promote other businesses in the area. That's what really drives the market. The other thing that isn't the norm in all communities in Wisconsin is our municipalities get along, at least in the tourism sector. You know, the city of Kenosha, the village of Pleasant Prairie, village of Bristol, and town of Wheatland are great supporters of tourism, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do without their support.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose when you talk to your colleagues and counterparts who are in other places, you maybe, at least from time to time, hear some horror stories about the problems that come up when you don't have that cooperative spirit.
You do hear the challenges, and it's just great to be in a community. Over the past weekend, we had over 3,200 runners in the Wisconsin Marathon, and being able to work with the city and village to keep those people safe and provide them with a quality race environment to do the best they could is a great thing to be able to do in our community.
Hmm. And I suppose when something, an event like that goes well, those folks are just that much more apt to return for another race someday or for some other reason.
Yeah, I mean, special events in the area are great twofold. One, they get to have a great experience at that event, but then they go back to their own communities and tell about their experience. Or nowadays, most of that is shared on Facebook immediately or Twitter. So those folks are out on the social networks talking about the experience they're having or had, and that drives numbers in the market as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about exactly where that marathon was run? I mean, where exactly were the runners doing their thing this weekend?
The marathon, Wisconsin Marathon, ran across the lakefront. We started at Celebration Place in front of the public museums. That's where the start and finish was. The half marathon runners ran north along the lakefront, which is just spectacular in the morning, up to Carthage College. They turned around there, and they came back through 3rd Avenue and then worked their way back to finish. The full marathoners continued on south on 3rd Avenue through Pleasant Prairie. They went all the way down to the marina, at their southernmost point, and then came back along Lakeshore Drive again, a really nice run or area to bike, and finished up again at Celebration Place.
Cool. I was busy with the solo and ensemble music competition at Parkside, but I had to buzz by Carthage very early in the morning and grab some music, and I saw already some of the things that were erected in anticipation of that race. It reminded me of all the excitement that was going to ensue. It sounds like it was a great day.
It was a beautiful day, and I guess if I can just touch on what you said with solo ensemble competition on Saturday. There was a marathon on Saturday. You know, the winter market was on Saturday. So for those folks that sometimes can't find something to do, I would encourage them to visit our website at visitkenosha.com and check out all the events, because any given weekend there's a number of great things going on. And I guess, you know, this weekend there'll be a number of Orson Welles related events going on, and you'll hear about that later in the show.
Right, yeah. No, being bored is your own fault when you live in a place as exciting as Kenosha and Racine. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on in this neck of the woods, and that's part of what we're here to talk about. Let's get into some of those really interesting numbers, and they really are interesting. They're actually quite impressive, starting with the really big number at the top of the list, which is the amount of money we're talking about in terms of travelers, the kind of money that was spent right here in Kenosha County.
Yeah, over $181 million was spent in the Kenosha area on travel and tourism. And I guess to put that into some perspective for the local taxpayers, if we include the amount that was spent at the state level, that would save a taxpayer $620 per year from the revenue generated from the state and local government taxes. On a local level in Kenosha County, each household would save $325 in taxes.
Hmm. And the statistic but from the look of it was a pretty substantial increase from the year before, 7.9%. And that has to make you feel good that not only we're talking about big numbers, but numbers that are on the rise.
Yeah, I mean, 7.9% is a great number. I believe we're at 5.9% since 2010, if you average out the years, which is pretty incredible considering the times we were going through. And then probably the biggest thing in terms of driving that growth is the spending at lodging facilities and recreational activities. And it's nice to see that, because that's our primary focus as a Convention and Visitors Bureau, is to get folks to visit the community and spend the night. And we do have a large focus on activities, whether it be sporting events or festivals, and it's nice to see that recreation is up there too.
Right. And, of course, it's no surprise that the numbers are most impressive, most vigorous in the months July through September. Are there ever sort of concerted efforts to try to strengthen the kind of off seasons, or is this a pretty healthy way to approach it?
Actually, our spending January through March and October through December continue to rise on an annual basis. A large reason that is, that I can point to, is the Recplex Aqua Arena. Hmm. They host a number of swimming facilities there. I believe this year we have 39 events booked there, and they'll bring in anywhere from 600 to 1,200 swimmers on any given weekend. And it's been tremendous for us, especially in the winter months. It's hard to program stuff in the winter here because we could have more snow than we want, or no snow.
Yeah.
So it's a little challenging in that regard, but
you're going to have a swim meet, though, no matter what.
Yep, the swim meet goes on.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, Wilmot Mountain has invested a lot in their facility, so that's helped bring folks here as well with the new tubing runs that they put in recently, and they built a new chalet by the tubing run that's nice for folks to use. So a lot of our businesses are, reinvesting in themselves, and again, that helps everybody.
Right. And speaking of helping everybody, one of the statistics that's encouraging here is the number of jobs that are generated by the spending of travelers and tourists who come to Kenosha. And these are numbers I didn't expect them to be quite as significant as they are.
Yeah, over 3,000 jobs are impacted by tourism. And that's full-time equivalent jobs. The income generated from that is $75.2 million. So jobs are good, and tourism develops a number of jobs in the community, especially in the hospitality business. I mean, you can get an entry-level position with relatively little qualifications, and you know, if you work hard and you're willing to learn, you can move up the ladder rather quickly into a family supporting job.
Right. And one of the points made in this document that I thought was worth making is that for the most part, we're talking about jobs in this sector that cannot be outsourced, cannot be exported. I mean, you're not going to have some personable young man in Bangladesh doing what you're doing. I mean, you have to be here. The job has to be here. And we need more and more of those kind of jobs.
We do. And I think the other part of it is people in general in Wisconsin are just nice people. You have a pleasant experience. You walk along the lakefront and you make eye contact and somebody will say hi to you and you'll say hi back. You know, so to get those folks involved in tourism, you know, that's the reason people come back is the customer service they receive in any business they go into, or whether it be a restaurant, hotel. You know, I think downtown is another good example, and you saw that this weekend at the marathon. Is there's just a lot of nice folks down there, and it's a nice place to be.
Right. Well, and that touches on the fact that the tourism numbers are positive, not only here specifically in Kenosha County, I mean, exceptionally strong here, but actually overall, in fact, it looks like there was the kind of consistent growth across the state that we don't always see.
Yeah, I think tourism growth statewide was a little over 5%, and the Department of Tourism is a tremendous partner of ours. You know, they do a nice job marketing the state as a whole. But they also have individual programming that allows us to apply for grant funding to help get events going. We recently received a joint effort marketing grant for Get Behind the Arts event, which was a week or two ago. Very nice event, being able to, you know, tour the art studios in Racine and Kenosha. And then I want to say it was a month ago about, we had Kenosha Restaurant Week downtown. Again, a tremendously successful event that couldn't have happened without the support of the Department of Tourism.
One of the things that we should make mention of is kind of a new player on the scene, relatively new player, namely the Kenosha Kingfish. Last summer was their first full-blown season here in the community, and from all reports, it was tremendously successful. What's your impression of just how big a success story that is, and what kind of impact it has had?
I totally agree with, you know, it being totally successful. To come in the community and provide the, you know, family fun that they did last summer was tremendous. And I think a true testament to that is, you know, season ticket sales and the different packages that they're selling, I know, are way up this year, which means a lot of people had fun and a lot more people are going to be going to the ballpark this summer. So I guess I would encourage folks, if you don't have tickets, maybe go out there and get some, because there could be some sellouts this year. And, you know, it's just good family fun. Whether you like the baseball part of it, and it is quality baseball. I mean, these kids are, you know, trying to make a living playing baseball. And then the entertainment in between innings is top-notch. And I think the best part about it is they get fans out there to participate, you know.
You're right.
You can put on a show, you know, and bring in actors and entertainers, but to get folks out there and actually involved, you never know what's going to happen, and it makes for good fun.
Sure. And it's such a beautiful ball field, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, the investment that the Kingfish made in the field, and again, the city invested in that field as well. And, you know, I think it was a wise decision on both parts. And, you know, the Simmons Field is only going to get better. And like I said, they had a great year last year. I think they're going to do better this year. And they'll probably do better next year.
So we're glad to have the Kenosha Kingfish here in the community. And, of course, another really significant player in the whole tourism business is Harbor Market. Tell us what kind of impact you think that has.
Well, Harbor Market has grown over the years to over 140 vendors, I think, on a peak weekend. The fact that they partnered with CABA and Downtown Inc. to do a impact study to see if we could have a full-time indoor market someplace in the downtown area, it speaks to its success. And again, you know, we're bringing thousands of people into downtown to have a quality experience, whether it be at the market shopping or, you know, after that they may go out to get something to eat downtown or visit the museums, maybe take a ride on the streetcar. You know, people come into town and have a positive experience, they're going to come back and better yet, they're going to tell their friends to come with them.
Very good. You were also making mention of something that had kind of, I'd only have the vaguest notion of it and hadn't really stopped to think about, the 360-degree theater that's in one of the museums downtown. And this is really something special that I think a lot of us aren't fully appreciative of.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in Kenosha we take for granted what we have, and the Civil War Museum is no different. They have a 360-degree theater within the museum. The film is called Seeing the Elephant. It was filmed at Old World, Wisconsin. It was originally a dream when the museum opened, you know, to be there. It took a while to get financing and different things put together, but last summer was the first full summer that it ran, and it's a tremendous film. Talks about how life was before the Civil War, how excited these guys were to be able to participate and fight for their country, and then the actual war experience and how it changed them, and then how life was when they returned home, the ones that made it home. And I've seen it several times, and like I said, it's a 360-degree theater, so you can only look so many ways during the presentation, and every time you go in, you'll see something different. And
wow.
It really is a moving experience that I recommend everyone go see.
Very good. We're going to finish up by talking about the I-94 Visitor Center, which is down on the exit for Highway 165 and I-94. And you were sharing some numbers that are really pretty staggering and pretty exciting, and I think it helps put a lot of what we've been talking about into proper perspective.
Yeah, we have staff, the I-94 and 165 Travel Information Center. Eva out there does a great job, and this year her and her team spoke to over 30,000 travelers to offer them advice, whether it be on Kenosha or the rest of the state. And those visitors were from all 50 states and over 40 countries.
It's incredible. I mean, first of all, I think it's just staggering to think about all 50 states. I mean, that somebody from Rhode Island, somebody from Maine, somebody from Oregon came through that visitor center on I-94.
Well, and not only came through, but took the time to ask the staff a question or, you know, wanted some information on what they were doing. There's a number of folks that come through there, and you know, they grab information on their own, and you know, we don't track those folks unless we talk to them. And then there's a number of folks that, you know, just stop in to relax for a little bit and be on their way. So
wow. Well, that tells us how many people are coming here. Reminds us that where we are located is of supreme importance. The fact that not only there's a lot to recommend about exactly right here in Kenosha County and Racine County, but also these spectacular metropolitan areas to the north and to the south. I mean, in some respects, you couldn't ask to live in a better place or have a better place to visit.
The Kenosha area is a great place to visit, and I think, too, it's a great place to live. You know, tourism is great in terms of bringing folks in from out of town and the money they spend, but it also provides, you know, improves the quality of life in the Kenosha area. And I think because of that, you know, and our location, we tend to be able to draw not only visitors, but businesses. We have folks that move here. And, you know, the biggest benefit is the people that live here get a chance to do all these wonderful things in their backyard.
Very, very good point. So remind our listeners, if they want to find out more information about any of the stuff that we have talked about today, what website they should visit.
Well, last year we changed our name. And it's much easier this year. It's visitkenosha.com.
Well, that is easy.
Much easier to remember than our old site. And we encourage you to go there if you're looking for something to do, need help planning an event. Any number of resources there, and we're happy to help, you know, anybody in need.
Very good. Dennis Duchesne is president of the Kenosha Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Dennis, it's always great to catch up with you, and we are glad that in the middle of National Travel and Tourism Week that you could join us today to share all this information. Very best wishes to you and your staff, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, Greg.
Coming up, Dennis, actually, stay put for just a moment.
Sure.
I just realized in our conversation we didn't really give you a chance to say something, although you mentioned it very briefly, this upcoming Orson Welles Centennial Celebration. Do you want to just say, we have several guests waiting in the wings to give the specifics, but just say a quick word about how excited you are about this.
We're super excited, and you know, this Wednesday is a kickoff celebration at Carthage College, which is a free event, and we'd encourage folks to go there. And then Saturday at the Kenosha Public Museum at 1 o'clock, we have the War of the Worlds event there. And then after that, you can make your way downtown to Chalk Attack and have some fun with sidewalk chalk and create your favorite alien.
Oh,
downtown.
Boy. There you go. All right. Then, well, all kinds of fun things to follow. We'll explore those specifics. But anyway, so happy birthday to Orson Welles and Dennis DeShane. We thank you for joining us today in part one of the morning show.
Thank you. And thanks to the committee for Citizen Welles. They did a tremendous job putting together quality events. And I would encourage folks to visit their website and participate in those.
Very good. We'll explore the specifics in part two of today's morning show coming up right here on WGTD. Now we welcome you to part two of the Monday morning show here on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. If you listen to WGTD with any regularity, then you are well aware by now that coming up this Wednesday is the 100th birthday of the great Orson Welles, one of the most legendary figures in the history of film. And if you were listening this past Friday to the morning show, then you heard my conversation with Joseph McBride, a film historian who actually had the immense privilege of not only meeting Mr. Welles, but actually working with him on his final film. And Joseph McBride is just one of the experts who is coming to town as part of a truly monumental celebration honoring Orson Welles and his long life and his impressive legacy. Another expert of Orson Welles, Patrick McGilligan, is going to be part of, I think, the initial festivities coming up this Wednesday, and he's my guest on Wednesday's morning show. So, and we have at least one other Orson Welles-themed program planned for the next couple of weeks. So WGTD is very happy to be part of this celebration by trying to spread the word and by allowing the community to hear from some of these really impressive experts who are coming to the community. I'm happy to welcome into the studios now for the second part of our program today three members of the steering committee And again, the steering committee is called the Citizen Wells Society of Kenosha. And they have been at work putting together this amazing event. So I'm pleased to welcome Marine Kashin Bolag. Is that how we pronounce all
yes.
that? Very good. And then Carol and Julia Succi. Good to have both of you here. And I happen to know them very well through the Choral Arts Society of Southeastern Wisconsin, of which they are both important members. So a warm welcome to all three of you to the morning show.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. I want to find out from each of you your own acquaintance with the legacy of Orson Welles or what it is in terms of your interest in him that drew you to be part of this steering committee to help work on this huge event. Maureen, let's start with you. What brings you to the table, so to speak?
Well, initially, I am part of the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts, and we had an unconference in November, and Nita Hunter brought this idea up. And I have a downtown business, Actors Craft, and I love the idea of bringing tourism to Kenosha. And I thought, wow, what a fantastic way to bring people to our town and to get people excited about Kenosha, because I'm a Kenosha transplant, and I love Kenosha, and I think a lot of people don't recognize what a great place we have to call home.
Mm-hmm.
And then in graduate school, I studied Orson Welles. I have a master's in television and film, and at Northwestern, we covered Magnificent Ambersons and Citizen Kane, and I learned some interesting things that I'm making connections with now on this journey, so I'm excited.
Ah, well, with very, very good reason. How about you, Julia? Ahead of this, did you have much in the way of knowledge or appreciation of Orson Welles, or are you coming to this celebration maybe for some other reason?
Well, yes and yes. I was familiar with many of his interesting works, of course, Citizen Kane and Magnificent Ambersons and War of the Worlds, various other radio endeavors that he was involved in film. He was very experimental and innovative in his film productions. And I agree with Maureen that Kenosha is a great place, and there is really a burgeoning arts and humanities community here. And this is an example of us all working together with the business community and with the city and the government.
Yes.
And the Visitors Bureau and so on. And it's very exciting how this is coming together.
No kidding. I quite agree. Now, your husband sitting next to you was born and raised in the Czech Republic. So I'm wondering, growing up in the Czech Republic, Karol, what acquaintance you had with Orson Welles, or did you only become aware of him and his legacy once you came to America?
Well, for me, it was actually a translation when I was a kid of War of the Worlds. It was set it up in Czech radio or Czechoslovakian radio in that time, and it just fascinated me, and all the stuff which happened attached to it and stuff like that. Otherwise, Orson Welles for me is his personality, his mind, really. His experimental nature and constant seeking and revising and going ahead, pushing out of the limit, you know, that's what really interests me. And that's what brought it me there. And as everybody said, Kenosha is a great place, and we should put it on the map of the world.
And this is one way to do it, or one way for some people who might not otherwise take notice to in fact, understand what Kenosha is. And, of course, it's ironic given the fact that Orson Welles, for the most part, didn't have the kindest things to say about Kenosha himself. And but here we are embracing him proudly, and as well we should. Maybe you could talk, Maureen, let's start with you, a little bit about the process by which this huge festival has taken place. Just take us inside the process by which these events were assembled. I mean, were you just sitting around a table brainstorming what would be cool, who would be great to bring in? I mean, how does something of this scope, this magnitude, get put together?
Well, the first step on the journey, Carl was saying back, was in 2010, that Nita Hunter and RG Productions said, hey, yes, we should do something for Orson Welles' 100th birthday. And then in September of 2013, the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts had a summit, and we talked about ways to move forward with the creative economy in Kenosha. And we had an unconference in November, and at that unconference, Nita Hunter brought up this idea, which is when I first heard of it, and we had tables of people getting together on different ideas, and so this table just took off with the ideas, and we formed a committee, and it's been exciting. I feel like I'm in college cramming for year-end exams, because I'm learning so much and covering up, covering so much material. So now we've had different people working on different areas, as they mentioned, getting the colleges involved, different businesses involved. There's a downtown trivia crawl that I was working on. So if there's 28 downtown businesses that have an Orson Welles fact, and if you take your May 9th, second Saturday flyer for the whole month of May, you can go from business to business, learn a fact, and then on May 27th, you can show up at Craft Public Brewing, and there's a trivia contest. But there's also a raffle contest, so you can win just for having gone to the different places, or you can now test your knowledge against the knowledge of others on Orson Welles.
Ah, so in other words, different people on the committee ultimately had kind of different assignments to really sort of work on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So I've been working on the trivia crawl and also on the reenactors for, we're having a 100th anniversary memorial walk at Green Ridge Cemetery. So we're going to have Orson Welles reenactors throughout the month at different events. And then we're going to have, it's similar to the cemetery walk, but we're calling it the memorial walk for Orson Welles
the
last weekend.
Who was responsible for bringing in some of the luminaries who are going to be visiting town? I mean, for instance, the two authors that I had the pleasure I Skyped with one, did a phone interview with the other. But who was involved in even sort of figuring out who were the biggest and best experts to and contacting them and bringing them here? Or was that a collaborative effort?
Well, I think it was mostly Nita Hunter, who was the mastermind behind most of that and did a lot of the work after her day job of teaching to contact these people and so on. So she deserves a lot of that credit.
Right.
And I believe the City of Kenosha helped give us the credibility to attract kind of celebrity status people to come because we had their backing.
So. Right. I mean, the City of Kenosha itself. So you have that stamp of approval, so to speak.
Yes.
Were you given some kind of a level of funding from the government? Or by and large, if you had to just kind of gather the funds yourselves to make this possible?
Well, we received some funding from the City of Kenosha and some from the Kenosha Community Foundation. But I do want to point out that most of these events are volunteer-driven and pretty much self-funded. The funds from the money from the funders has been devoted a lot to the expenses of bringing in the celebrity guests and publicity, our nice little flyers and our website and so on, which, by the way, if we miss anything, please visit citizenwells.org to find out everything that's going on. And I think it's just a testament to all the businesses who are devoting time and publicity to this, and it's a testament to the community.
Very much so. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking with three members of the steering committee for this enormous Orson Welles celebration, which is going to be officially kicking off this Wednesday, the 6th of May, which would have been Orson Welles' 100th birthday. So three members of the Citizen Welles Society of Kenosha, Carol and Julia Suki and Maureen Cashin Bolog, who have all been working extremely hard behind the scenes to put all of this together. We should talk about the kickoff for all of this, which is happening on Wednesday evening. Who wants to talk about the kickoff celebration at Carthage College? Maureen.
I'll talk about it. We're going to have, as you mentioned, we're going to have Patrick McGilligan here talking about his new book and presenting. Oh, it's starting with cake at 6:30, a birthday cake for Orson Welles. So everybody is welcome to attend and eat cake with us.
Care of Robin's Nest Cakery, by the way.
Oh, yes. And then we're going to have presentations. Jean Hoffman from the she's a local historian that works with Green Ridge Cemetery, and she's going to be talking about Orson's relatives. I mean, people may not know this, but we have Orson's parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents are buried here at Green Ridge Cemetery. So we have his DNA in our dirt. So that's exciting. So she's going to be talking about Orson's history. We're going to have Patrick McMilligan. I'm going to talk a little bit about theater. Nita's going to present about radio. And Jan Michalski is going to do a presentation that was written by Don Jensen on Orson and film. It's going to be a very informative, very fun evening.
Great. I want to mention that Patrick McGilligan, he'll be heard on my morning show on Wednesday. His new book is about the early life of Orson Welles. I mean, basically leading up to Citizen Kane. And he shares a lot of interesting information about the early part of Orson Welles' life. And this is a book that actually doesn't come out till the fall. So the only way you're going to get any of this information at this point in time is, well, you can get some of it from the morning show, but better yet, to hear his presentation as part of this kickoff celebration. Where exactly at Carthage is this going to be?
It's in the theater in the Student Center.
Oh, okay. So in the student union then.
Student union. Yes.
Okay. Now that's a beautiful facility, and the theater is upstairs. So, so the kickoff event then Wednesday, May 6th, 7 o'clock at Carthage College, and we've been spreading the word and are very, very excited about it, and hope a lot of people are going to make their way to Carthage for this big event, which is also free, as are so many of the events. Julie, why don't you talk about a couple of the next events which are coming up?
Well, we have kind of a big weekend coming up. There's going to be a private event at the Kenosha Public Museum on Thursday, May 7th, but it's private for Friends of the Museum, so you can hurry up and join the Friends of the Museum if you're interested. There's going to be a release party on May 8th for a Welles-themed brew at Public Craft Brewing Company. Sounds like fun. And second Saturday in Kenosha, we've gotten a lot of support there. War of the Worlds is at 1 p.m. at the Public Museum. Chalk Attack will be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. downtown. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock in Fusion, we'll have the Puppet Underground presenting some Welles-themed puppet sketches. And I've kind of heard a rumor that there are going to be some guest appearances. So that should be interesting. Wednesday, May 13th at the Northside Library, there will be an author presentation and a film about young Orson, or me and Orson Welles. I'm sorry, I got them mixed up. And then Thursday, May 14th is the event I'm most involved in with Corel, Music of the Mind. It's going to be devoted to new music and multimedia. And it's also associated with the National Composers Forum 40th anniversary. So it's National Composer Night Out.
Well, great. Let's stop right there and focus on that a little bit more. So this is something you're also involved in, of course, very, very much. Tell us more about what's going to happen in that evening.
Well, there will be three, four levels, actually, which will be covered in that evening. Voices and Verses will celebrate their 20th years. And Voices and Verses were always concentrating on collaborative effort in arts, across the disciplines, across the media, and so on. And it's also 40th anniversary of American Composers Forum, which I'm a member of. And they suggested to sponsor on May 14th, that's why it's on May 14th, National Composers Night Out. Take your composer out, because we know, who knows composers, really? Sometimes they are not written even by pieces which are played and stuff like that. So we organized that. We contacted a lot of local composers. Some of them will be there. And we also contacted a lot of free improvisers. There will be around 23 people involved in this event. Some of them are from Chicago, Milwaukee, as I should say, from the corridor, all right?
Right, through Racine and Kenosha.
Through the Racine and Kenosha. And the main theme for it will be Orson Welles' mind. We are going to present his quotations. And these quotations will be responded to either musically or verbally. It depends if we can have some sort of discussion going on. And as you pointed, Greg, he was not too polite to Kenosha. And we are going to explore it a little bit. We will start with a statement and then hopefully through this quotation go through and find out what was really happening. And as I said, it will be a collaborative effort, and I am probably forgetting a lot of stuff which will be going on there, but we invite everybody to go. It will be at Fusion, very important.
And maybe explain what that is to listeners who don't even know what we're talking about. Fusion.
Fusion is supported by Kenosha Performing Arts Association. And mainly Don Miller. He's really behind everything there. What he did, he bought the Grand Central, what it used to be, and he converted to high-tech, very beautiful performing center, all right? It has club settings, it has seatings, table seatings, they even serve beer and stuff like that. And they are really trying to concentrate right now to bringing local people and outside people in from all kinds of facets of performing arts.
And if I might interject, it's a club setting, but the thought behind it is that we wanted a place that would be primarily focused on the performance, not on the beer.
Ah, right.
the beer is right. Just a nice aside, but sure. It's mostly a place for listening.
Very good. So that's at 5014 7th Avenue, and that event is on Thursday evening, the 14th of May, Music of the Mind, and celebrating in particular and exploring the mind of Orson Welles himself. Maureen, tell us about one of the central events of the big celebration around what's by some regarded as his masterpiece, Citizen Kane, on Friday the 15th.
On Friday the 15th, Citizen Kane is going to be at the University of Wisconsin Parkside Cinema.
And you mean they're showing the film itself?
They're going to be showing the film itself. So the New York Times reported in 1941 that this film comes close to being the most sensational film ever made in Hollywood. And so we're grateful that, Professor Jay McRoy is going to be providing a talk back after the film. And tickets for that are $5 at the door. So what was interesting to me about Citizen Kane was that back in graduate school, one of the things that our professor talked about, Tim Gunning, he talked about that Orson Welles was very innovative in this film. He didn't actually have a background in filmmaking. He was just learning on the fly. And some cameramen wanted to work with him because he didn't have it set in stone what was going to happen, so they knew that anything could happen with him, and it did. But he used a form of lighting that had never been used in film before, and it's very interesting that his father, Richard Ives Welles, who was born here in Kenosha, had inventions, and one of his inventions dealt with, he made a lantern for bicycles that was also used in those earlier automobiles. And I'm just wondering about these conversations that Orson must have had with his father, who had this background in light, and now he brings this new form of lighting into his film. So I think that's a nice Kenosha connection.
Absolutely. And, of course, it's a rare treat to see Orson Welles' Citizen Kane on a big screen. I mean, anybody can watch it at home now on their little TV set, but you really don't experience the full magic of this film that way. You really you really see that see it on a big screen in a big way, and that just doesn't happen every day.
That's a really good point. Yeah, very exciting.
And then somebody needs to talk about an event I'm really excited about when Joseph McBride, my guest this past Friday, comes to town for a very special screening of another film. Actually, Maureen, I think you mentioned it, The Magnificent Ambersons, and I think Julia mentioned it also.
That's going to be at the Women's Center in downtown at Library Park. Now, what's really interesting, another nice Kenosha connection with that is that when Orson Welles thought about the home that Magnificent Ambersons lived in, he fashioned it after the home of his grandmother, Mary Blanche Head Welles Godfredson, and he thought about the exterior of the home being Library Park, that circle driving around there at Library Park. So that's another nice connection there.
So how cool then that people can come see Magnificent Ambersons at the Kenosha Women's Club.
And that's going to be on Sunday, May 24th at 2 p.m. And the Women's Club is located at 6028 8th Avenue.
Hmm. And let me insert one more thing. The house where Orson Welles was born and lived, I think that he was born there, no?
Yes, he was born
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. It will be open just that afternoon after Magnificent Ambersons. So you can go and visit at least foyer.
Ah, the 24th, people can see the home itself, which is actually very, very close.
Right.
And we still haven't, Julia, maybe you can briefly touch on the 100th anniversary walk that's going to be happening on May 30th and 31st. I guess we've talked about it briefly, but just share whatever else we need to know about that.
Well, I think Maureen has been more involved in that. May I defer to you?
Yes, we've been working with that. Jean Hoffman from she's a local historian, and she is on Green Ridge Cemeteries, I think Board of Directors is her position. She has done considerable research on Orson Welles' relatives who are buried here, and we are having reenactors portray Orson Welles' father and mother, his grandmother, his great-grandfather, and his aunt, and also Orson Welles himself. And so that's going to be at Green Ridge Cemetery on May 30th and 31st from 1 to 4. And Green Ridge Cemetery is located at 6604 7th Avenue. And also, those ancestors, some of them are going to be showing up at different events throughout the month.
Hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Well, how fun is that? Julia, what is the website if people want to get more information about all that we've talked about today?
Again, it's CitizenWelles, all one word, .org.
Very good. Well, you have all been working incredibly hard to put all of this together, and so my congratulations to you, and I know a lot of people are tremendously excited to take in all that you have planned and organized to help celebrate the 100th birthday of the creator of Citizen Kane, Orson Welles. So my thanks to Maureen Cashlin-Bolag, Carl and Julia Sukeep for being here, and best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we'll preview the Milwaukee Florentines production of Donizetti's bel canto comic masterpiece, The Elixir of Love. And on Wednesday, which is Orson Welles' actual 100th birthday, my guest is Patrick McGilligan, a well-known film historian from Milwaukee who has written a book that promises to be the